the leaked SCOTUS document, looking at things from the standpoint of somebody who understands pro-abortion activism. What do you think is going on here with that leaked document?
It was an intimidation tactic, and it was shocking. It is amazing and unusual. That has never happened before in the history of the United States Supreme Court. And it's similar to the attack that occurred in 1992, when the last time the Supreme Court was reversing Roe v. Wade, in Planned Parenthood v. Casey, five judges had voted internally to reverse Roe v. Wade, including Justice Kennedy, and the left pulled a Million Women's March in April of 1992, and Kennedy changed his mind, and it's rumored because he was out there and saw him. So when you surrender to the mob will keep coming back.
In number 70, 18, Roe against Wade.
You would agree, I suppose, that one of the important factors that has to be considered in this case is what rights, if any, does the unborn fetus have?
That's correct.
And the basic constitutional question initially is whether or not an unborn fetus is a person,
yes,
isn't it? This is critical to this case.
Yes, sir, it is.
If it were established that an unborn fetus is a person within the protection of the 14th Amendment, you would have almost an impossible case here.
I would have a very difficult case.
Certainly would.
The right to life is the first among human rights.
Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream.
People have said that abortion is a righteousness issue. Abortion is a justice issue. We're the most marginalized, voiceless, weakest people group in America. Have no voice. Where is the moral outcry?
Be a voice. Sign the petition at www.themoraloutcry.com. Bill McIntosh Show, now on with Alan Parker, Esquire. He's an attorney, former professor of law at St. Mary's University in San Antonio, Texas, where he taught educational law and civil procedure. He was a visiting professor at the University of Texas and studied international human rights at the International Human Rights Institute in Strasbourg, France. He taught international human rights at the St. Mary's Institute on world legal problems in Innsbruck, Austria, in 1992. Received his JD degree with high honors from the University of Texas School of Law, associate editor of the Texas Law Review, a chancellor, order of the coif, and order of barristers for his outstanding advocacy skills. He graduated Phi Beta Kappa, University of Oklahoma, with a BA in economics. That's interesting. Okay, well, great. Well, you know, he's president of the Justice Foundation. We want to ask Alan Parker, welcome him, of course, to the Bill McIntosh Show, and ask him about the leaked SCOTUS document that came out in Politico. I want to ask you your opinion about that. What do you think is going on? Why that happened? Looking at things from the standpoint of somebody who understands abortion, pro-life activism, and pro-abortion activism. What do you think is going on here with that leaked document, which was just a draft?
Yes. Well, it was good news that the draft is reversing Roe v. Wade. So that's my opinion and the opinion of my clients. But it was an intimidation tactic, and it was shocking. It is amazing and unusual. That has never happened before in the history of the United States Supreme Court. And it's a real attack on the institution, but it's similar to the attack that occurred in 1992 when the last time the Supreme Court was reversing Roe v. Wade, in Planned Parenthood v. Casey, five judges had voted internally to reverse Roe v. Wade, including Justice Kennedy, and the left pulled a Million Women's March in April of 1992, and Kennedy changed his mind, and it's rumored because he was out there and saw him. So when you surrender to the mob will keep coming back. And I hope that the Supreme Court does not surrender to the mob, or we'll live in an oligarchy with a mobocracy instead of a constitutional republic. And I'm optimistic the Supreme Court is going to do the right thing.
It was basically then done to try to replicate what happened in 1992, right? So,
yes, and maybe, but that they're getting far less women to march against the Supreme Court than they did in 1992. There's scattered protests, but I also believe that one of the arguments that's made in our briefs and that was mentioned by Justice Amy Coney Barrett in the oral argument will eventually help end the abortion wars. And that's the safe haven law. And this is not a matter of public policy. Under constitutional law and the law of judicial precedent, when you follow a Supreme Court decision and when you reverse it, one of the factors is the reliance interest. The first thing you ask is, was the decision wrong? And, or was it not just a little bit wrong, but was it grievously wrong? And of course, killing a human being and injuring women is great, terribly wrong. But then you also ask, well, have people come to rely upon the decision? Again, in 1992, I just read it again today in Planned Parenthood v. Casey, the three-judge plurality that became the law said, well, women have come to rely upon abortion in order to participate fully in the economic and social life of the nation. So even if Roe was wrong, we're going to keep it because of the reliance factor. That was 1992. Well, in 1999, the states began passing Baby Moses laws, also called safe haven laws. And today, in every state, if abortion is reversed, even if you live in a state that bans abortion, you will not have to parent a baby if you're a woman that can't take care of the baby or doesn't want to. Every state has a safe haven law where the woman can simply safely surrender her baby at a designated place, usually a hospital or fire station, within a designated time, usually 30, 30, 60, 90 days, and she's free. Free! The freedom of Roe v. Wade without killing the child and injuring the mother. And so I think we can have the freedom of Roe without the negative consequences. And what will happen to the children, instead of being killed, they'll be given to the 1 to 2 million women every year in America on a rolling basis that want to adopt a newborn baby. So it's a win-win-win. Why would we keep fighting about the issue? We can help the baby and the mother and the homes waiting to adopt children. I think it's a great solution.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. I mean, I didn't know the extent of that. It's nationwide then. Is that being carried out now? And do you see a lot of that happening in Texas or in other states? Are you very informed about that?
I am. I'm very informed of that. And let me give your listeners the website to the National Safe Haven Alliance. That's where all 50 states are up there on the map. You can click your state. Like I'm in Texas. We have 60 days after birth to use this. It's free, unlike abortion. So it's why would you pay $500 or $1,500 to an abortionist? This would be free. But we are taking killing off the children. Now, unfortunately, no one knows about this. It's not promoted. The abortion industry does not tell women about it. And in Texas, we had a lady from New Mexico caught on television driving to the back of the store at night, getting out of the car. She had a black bag tied tightly, and she threw it in the dumpster behind the store. And about a couple hours later, some people who were looking for things in dumpsters to just take and sell or use, I don't know what, they found it. You could see them pulling it out. And one of them was a woman. She ripped that bag open. I think they could hear the baby. And she just began cuddling that baby and putting her up on her shoulder. So the law was designed to stop dumpster babies, but it can be used for any reason.
Gosh.
And that lady was from New Mexico. And her own state had it. So now she's charged with attempted murder because she was killing a human being, born baby alive. So, but we ought to publicize it. We're trying to get attorney generals across the state. And we're trying to get the media to tell women, what will happen if Roe v. Wade is reversed? All these horror stories. Well, this is a legal fact. You can go to National Safe Haven and check it out. This is why Amy Coney mentioned. If Roe is reversed today, some states, abortion will still be protected by law. California, abortion. In half the states, there'll be no change. But even if you live in a state that bans abortion, you don't have to parent a baby if you can't or if you don't want to. That's the law right now. So, of course, it's the law while Roe v. Wade is reversed. And I think more people will learn about it if you can't kill the baby. Because women think, I want to take care of this problem now. 10 minutes, you'll never have to think about it, the abortion tells women. And let me say, everything I know about abortion comes from the over 4,728 sworn testimonies I've collected from women injured by abortion and that we gave to the court in the Dobbs case. So I'm just telling you what women have told me, but it's sworn testimony. 10 minutes, you'll never have to think about it. Remember one of my clients saying, that woman lied to me. There's not a day go by I don't think about killing my child.
Where
would the child be now? Let me explain. Like, once you get pregnant, every woman knows, when is this baby going to be born? When they start thinking, what am I going to do with this child? Oh, it's coming in May. I don't have a job. What am I going to do? Or who am I going to tell? How are the people around me going to react? But if you kill the baby, you also think about the baby. Like when your friend's babies go to first grade, you think, my child will never go to first grade. When they get married, my daughter will never get married. And the grief stays with you. When your friends start having grandchildren, you think, I'll never have grandchildren. Many women who get abortion never have another child. Sarah Weddington, the lawyer for Roe v. Wade, was like that. She had Texas had an illegal abortion. She went to Mexico to get an abortion, and she never had another child. Now, I don't know if she had sterility problems, like some women have after abortion, or she just decided she didn't want to have children. But she recently died, and I believe it's part of the passing of Roe v. Wade. And someday it'll be like slavery and like segregation. Justice Alito's opinion says, and he brought it up in the oral argument, isn't abortion like segregation? And we make that argument in our petition. It's a crime.
Fantastic.
And Justice Alito hammered her, and he asked a Solicitor General of the United States, Amy Prolinger, well, wasn't Plessy versus Ferguson the segregation case, which said to African Americans, you don't get equal protection, you get separate but equal? And he said, wasn't that wrong? The day it was decided. And she said, yes, Your Honor, it was a horrible decision. It was wrong. People have to say that about the past injustice, right?
Oh, my gosh.
And then he said to her, well, what if some client or case came to us 8 years later and nothing had changed? Should we have reversed it right then? Hemming and hawing. Well, Your Honor, I know. But this case, this court has never reversed one of its own opinions unless there's been a major change in circumstances. So she was saying segregation should go on forever. But the safe haven.
Dred Scott. Look at Dred Scott.
And the safe haven is a major change in circumstances. It didn't exist in 1973. It didn't exist in 1992, the last time the Supreme Court considered abortion. But in 99, states started saying, and they first, when they called the Baby Moses Law, that was George Bush. He said, I'll pass it if you let me change the name from Safe Haven to Baby Moses. And think about Baby Moses. It was a genocidal attack on male Jewish children. And yet the mother had to give her baby away to save her baby. And it's hard for women to give their babies away. I represent women hurt by abortion. There is a pain when you don't give life to your child and become the mother, but she placed in a, rather than death, rather than abortion, safe haven is a better alternative than killing children. She placed in the ark, and an Egyptian princess picked it up. And her husband must have said, yeah, it's okay to bring this child into the home, because he ended up being a prince of Egypt. So,
sure.
and the mother in that case got to nurse her own child. And so she had some contact with it. And
right.
Today, open adoption can do that. If you place your child in the home and you wonder every year, you can have the parents send you pictures or a card on birthdays. And sure. You don't have to think, where is my child? What would they be doing? And you don't have the guilt of killing a child.
Well, sure, you might have the idea, well, you know, I'd love to know what they're doing now. I wonder what they're doing now at the birthday party and all that. I wonder what she's studying in college or he's studying in college or whatever. Hey, by the way, you were referring to that story in the Old Testament where Moses was found in a little basket, right, to the ark. I said,
that's right.
Amazing.
That's right. Most people know that story, whatever religion or non-religion they are.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story. Great, great story. And of course, he became the man who saved the Israelites, led them into the Promised Land, which is, you know, we've slaughtered so many incredible people in our country. So tell us about the Moral Outcry petition. Again, I want to put a link up to it. And I want to put the trailer in this to accompany this interview, Alan. Tell us about the Moral Outcry petition, what you want to achieve with it, and how that's going, please.
Well, that is a great short video, and people will actually hear some of the comments from the oral argument in the Roe case from 1972 was the actual oral argument, but then in January of 1973 it came out. So the original Roe v. Wade, and the lawyer that I mentioned, Sarah Weddington, her voice is in there. It's very powerful, very short, very powerful. So the Moral Outcry is a petition. Right now we have over 500,000 people have signed it. We put every one of those names in our brief at the Supreme Court. If we printed it out, it would be 11,000 pages long, but we put it in a Dropbox. But everybody can read the names, just the names, no contact data. And it answers the question legally, why should Roe v. Wade be reversed? And why do we petition the Supreme Court? Because they created the crime against humanity. And you have the right to petition the government for redress of grievances. It wasn't the states, it wasn't the Congress that federalized or made abortion legal. It was the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, what does it say? Why should it be reversed? Number one, it's a crime against humanity, which occurs when the government withdraws legal protection from a class of human beings. Two, new evidence that we didn't have in 73, scientific evidence shows life begins at conception. In vitro fertilization, DNA testing, sonograms, none of that showed you what's in the womb. Three, the court thought it was helping women, but in fact, experience has shown, because they didn't have many women who had abortions then. Now we know abortion hurts women. Even the Supreme Court admitted in 1992 devastating psychological consequences for women. And in 2007, Gonzalez v. Carhart, they said, some women come to regret aborting the infant life they once created and sustained.
I think it's a lot more than some.
Yes, it's many, many, many.
Millions.
Millions.
How can you not? How can they not be traumatized every day of their life when they get out of there, and a year later they're thinking, wow, my child would be 1 year old now. My child would be starting school now. My boy or girl, you know, would be going with us on vacation now. It's like a constant unending nightmare that is constantly revisited every single day by everything that happens. It's just, how can people consider this some in some way liberating for a woman? It just basically enslaves them to a horrible decision, you know?
It is.
The expansion of the U.S. money supply in 2021 is unprecedented. In fact, in the past 12 months, 40% of the entire U.S. dollar supply since the beginning of the American Republic have been printed. That's right. This is absolutely unprecedented. This is reckless. This is foolhardy. And this tends to be inflationary. So what can you do? Hey, protect the value of your assets and of your dollars. That's why I like to bring up www.ourgoldguy.com. That's www.ourgoldguy.com. Ira Bershadsky is the man, and he's the person that we've come to trust. He's got extremely competitive prices. He's extremely reliable, and he's somebody that many people on our platform have seen that he delivers consistently and reliably. So keep in mind a couple of important points. Precious metals have been around as a store of value since biblical times. Since the dot-com boom in 2000, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has gone up 2 times. Now, during that same period, gold has gone up 4.5 times. From 2016 to 2020, gold and the stock market both went up. Historically, when the stock market, the U.S. dollar, real estate, and similar asset classes have gone down in value, gold has gone up, cushioning the downside and, most importantly, preserving your capital. When the stock market drops 50%, it has to double to get back to even. If a percentage of your portfolio is in gold, it may cushion the downside and potentially you will recoup your portfolio value quicker. During inflationary times like now, gold has increased in value as an inflation hedge. So folks, check out www.ourgoldguy.com. And remember also, precious metals is not just gold, but it's also silver. That's an industrial commodity, and investors have invested in silver when they feel that there will be an economic expansion. There's a lot of demand for silver. So folks, go to ourgoldguy.com. It's very reliable, very competitive, and it's a great company. And tell them that Bill McIntosh sent you.
And our brief can be read, and those testimonies are in the brief. So it's much more powerful than you and I can describe. And it results in suicidal thoughts, suicide attempts, anxiety, depression, substance abuse, feeling worthless that allows men to abuse you because you're not even worthy of being a mother and you're just a piece of trash. Now, I'm using the women's words.
Yeah, sure.
You feel like a murderer. That's not what and I want to say this, since we're being harsh in a sense with the women's own testimonies, there is forgiveness and healing. There are abortion recovery programs that are on our website also at the Justice Foundation. And okay. Millions of women need the healing, and millions of women have received the healing. So it is out there. So go to the Justice Foundation and find that. So we've mentioned three, two left. It's a crime against humanity. New science shows life begins at conception. It hurts women. So why would we want to continue? Well, today, we want to help women. She can use the safe haven law instead of abortion to have freedom from parenting. And then the last step. Argument is, what will happen to those children? Are they all going to be in foster care? No. There are 1 to 2 million women every year waiting to adopt newborn children. And again, amazing. That's because of the scientific fact that 10% of American women between the ages of 15 and 44 are infertile. That's 6 million women who can't have a baby after a year of trying. That's the definition of infertility. After a year, and so women try to fix it, whatever the problem is. Could be the man's problem. Could be his sperm count is infertile. But she's in a marriage. She doesn't want another. So they try other things. Every year, then, about 2 million women are waiting, say, I could raise a baby. I want a baby.
Absolutely.
Well, and it's called empty arm syndrome. Women, if you believe in God or evolution, women are sort of designed to care for children. The species couldn't survive if we dropped our baby off in the dirt like an ostrich mother does. And so that's the beautiful solution. Justice for the child. Don't kill the baby. Mercy for the mother. Don't hurt yourself. And love for the families waiting to adopt a child and put them in a loving home. So if you believe these, or if you just for any reason want abortion reversed and let us, the states free to ban abortion, we can start a political conversation in every state, but about half the states would ban abortion, but no woman would have to parent a child she doesn't want. You can sign the moral outcry at thejusticefoundation.org. or the moral outcry. You can, everything we do is available on the justicefoundation.org.
Fantastic. Just imagine one thing. I just can't help but thinking of the Dallas Cowboys. You're in Texas. Imagine if, you know, next Super Bowl, somebody paid, I don't know, $1 million for a commercial on, you know, the Safe Haven law and the Baby Moses initiative. That, imagine if we told America about that, how many children would be saved as a result? That'd be amazing, huh?
Yes.
You know? Although I'm not optimistic about it because I see the – yeah, go ahead.
And you mentioned Tim Tebow. Not everybody knows, but a lot know, that Tim's mother was told to abort him. She had a health condition, and she thought about it, and she said no. And she didn't abort him, and he became a Heisman Trophy winner and led, I think, Florida. I think they won national championship. So, but every life is precious. Every human life is precious. That's what the Declaration of Independence says. We find these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with the right to life. And if you believe in just human rights, which most people do today, well, when do human rights begin? Becomes when humans begin. When is that? The sperm and the egg come together. Fertilization occurs. You have a human being. And one of the
genetically unique.
Yes. And I represent Hannah S., the first formerly frozen human embryo to file a brief at the Supreme Court. We're all former embryos. But at the microscopic level, she was conceived outside the womb in a Petri dish, sperm and egg come together. Then she was frozen for 2.5 years, then put in her adoptive mother, Marlene's, womb. And all Marlene gave her was a place to stay and nutrients and a warm place to live, which is what all of us need. And so Hannah is scientific proof. Life begins at conception.
Amazing. Yeah, and there it is with the same genetic code. When it's a fertilized egg, sounds so sterile and so inhuman, but as the human being had after birth, right? It's the same DNA. It's amazing. So, that's something that's so important. We have to obviously, you know, work to educate people, which brings us to the whole topic of school choice. I know you have, I don't want to take you too much time, Alan, but school choice, why is school choice so important?
Well, if you want a just and humane society, you have to bring children into the world and you have to educate them the right way. Now, people may disagree on what the right way is to educate children. The beautiful thing about America is you get the freedom to educate your children. Well, the greatest injustice in the world today is killing children in the womb. The second is taxing parents and taking their money that could be spent on the education of their children and then putting them in schools forced to attend by law, compulsory attendance, in a school that violates the basic fundamental human beliefs of that family. And that may be, if you're a secular humanist, you may need a secular humanist school. If you're a Catholic, you might want a Catholic school. If you're a Christian, and Catholics are Christians, of course, but I'm saying maybe a Protestant, you might want a Protestant school.
Exactly. Thank you.
There are many Hebrew day schools.
About to say something.
Yes, Hebrew day schools. And it's all there. It's all there. Why should we fight about these things? Let people choose.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If we're going to have a government school, then you got to fight like hell over what's going to be taught. Let a thousand hours flourish. What works will rise to the top. What turns out bad will die off eventually.
Amen. And one thing that came out of the Chinese Cultural Revolution, let a thousand flowers bloom, and millions of children live who are being aborted, you know, every year that goes by. More than a million, I think, are killed. So, and what it would do is that it would totally change the game as far as education goes. They could no longer force down our kids' throats and society's throats all this crazy CRT, this transgender ideology, all these ideas against religion and the sanctity of human life. It would just be such a game changer. So this is important for us to get involved with activism for school choice.
Let's talk about the good things. That's some of the bad things. Why is it so hard to control? You have to use a political control model to correct the problems in public schools. When you change the funding mechanism, instead of funding districts, we would fund every child's education, and the money would follow the child to the school of the parent's choice. What that does, it makes the suppliers have to be responsive to the needs of the parents and the child.
We're doing this already.
No, in a sense. No, I say right now the money goes to school districts.
Right, in this sense, right. Alan, in this sense. I have two kids recently discharged from the Armed Forces of the United States. They can go to the college they want. They could study community college. Yes. They could go to Harvard. Yes. They only have a certain amount of money. They could, in fact, my son can even, Stephen, talk to me about studying in Peru. There's all these options. You know, it's like a blank check. Why can't we do that to our children? They need it the best. They need it the most.
Exactly. And in the K through pre-K program, you could take your money to private schools, even where the state does it. Only in K through 12 are we blocked. Why? Because the education establishment doesn't want competition. That's why.
And they have competition.
Yes. And sometimes competition sounds like a harsh word for people who maybe have not done well in the free market. But markets respond to the most informed consumer and protect the less informed consumers. Like cell phones, they get better and better every year. But I don't buy them when they first come out. I like to see if there are mistakes. If you have a mistaken problem in the public school, it gets imposed on people until there's enough outrage and mistakes that people rise up and revolt. Now, let me show how school choice would affect the bully problem. Everybody admits we have a bully problem in Texas public schools. That can devastate a child. They can be crying and afraid to go to school. Now, if the funding followed the child, parents could go. Often they'll go and complain. And the school says, well, there's nothing we can do about it. And if you fight, we're going to punish both of you. Well, the parent could just take their child to another school, problem solved. And that child's life is immeasurably improved. If she's the only one being bullied, nothing changes at the other school. But if it's a problem and 5 to 10% of the parents start leaving and take their money with them, and that's the lifeline of the school, the administrator will say, what's wrong? My child doesn't feel safe. My child doesn't feel safe. Parent after parent. And they'll figure out how to solve the bully problem.
Oh, they'll get serious about it.
School. That's right.
And then you also have this. Remember, Alan, also, this is the charter school phenomenon, which I imagine that's in many places. I know it was in Florida. And in Texas, I imagine you have that, right? You can go to a school where the kids can actually get a good education. My brother teaches mathematics in California at an extraordinary school in Oakland. And you got kids there in AP calculus, inner city school kids, minority kids that, you know, in a public school system, good luck with mathematics and good luck with getting a level of education that's competitive with outstanding students that go to schools where you have rich school districts with high tax, you know, bases because you have an affluent community. Kids in inner city schools, they get the bottom of the barrel in education and options. But in that particular case, it illustrates how charter schools and having choice really gives kids a tremendous option to have a better outcome than parents do, you know?
Yes. So let me tell you my background. I represented public school districts the first 7 years of my practice. And
oh, really?
Corpus Christi, Texas, yes. And I saw the problems in public schools. But there are great public schools. Nothing will change at a great public school. We started the Justice Foundation for litigation for school choice as a right of every parent. And we got, in 1995, the Texas Supreme Court to say, as long as there's a general diffusion of knowledge, which is why we have an education system in our state constitution, the legislature is free to choose any means it desires to establish a general diffusion of knowledge. And that's what led to the creation of charter schools, a new kind of school not run by a district, not run by the state agency, run by nonprofits with non-government employees and a little more freedom in the curriculum. I was then selected by the State Board of Education of Texas to be on the Open Enrollment Charter School Evaluation Committee. And all these arguments against school choice have all been debunked. Who will start schools? I said, educational heroes who say, I can do it better. They'll cream the best students. No, the only way they can make money is by having students who have some need that can be fulfilled. The best students, and once I say it, everybody agrees, they're happy where they are and they don't want to leave their friends. It's students who aren't doing well or their parents think they're not doing well that want to leave. So they didn't take the best students. Now, what the problem with charter schools, government has created a scarcity. There are hundreds of thousands of children in Texas start charter schools today, but there are also hundreds of thousands on a waiting list. Why? Because the government said only this many charter schools can be created. Why? To protect public schools. Do we do that with restaurants or grocery stores?
Oh my God.
No.
Ridiculous.
We give the poor a voucher. Here, go buy food. But we don't say you have to buy it from a government store. And we don't protect restaurants from better restaurants being created.
I mean, ridiculous. It's all about control. Ideological control. That's what they want.
And there are 37 states that have school choice. It hasn't destroyed public school. It's improved public schools, according to the studies. So it's just inertia and enforced opposition by a very entrenched, very well-funded bureaucracy that opposes parents' rights.
Well, yeah. Wow. Well, listen, this is a great topic, Alan. I'm glad that you're talking about it. It produces a lot of enthusiasm with parents when they realize, hey, there's a way we can have control over our kids' education. We can give them the best start possible so that they can get, they go to college. If they decide to go to college, they're going to be prepared. Public schools in many, many places, not all, in many places, is failing students and parents and society royally. And jipping taxpayers because we don't get good candidates.
If your listeners live in Texas, there's another group called Liberty for the Kids. They can go to libertyforthekids.com and sign a petition there that the money should follow the school, the child, to the school of the parent's choice. And that group is going to work for it in Texas. And this is news. Governor Abbott of Texas, about a week ago now, came out in San Antonio, where I'm speaking from, and said, my goal, and you can hold me to this, is every child in Texas will have full school choice. The money will follow the child to the school of the parent's choice, public, charter, or private school. That's going to be great for everybody when that happens.
Terrific. Wow, that's great. Well, listen, folks, you got to check out the Justice Foundation. That's the justicefoundation.org, correct, Alan?
That's right, yes.
Okay, and check out, and you can go there and find the Moral Outcry petition, or you can go to the moraloutcry.org, right? You have those websites,
yes.
Correct? And yes. Check that out. And listen, thanks a million for being on the Bill McIntosh Show. And much obliged as always. And hope we can do it again and to talk about a lot of great topics. God willing, we'll talk again with a reverse Roe v. Wade at that time. When's the decision going to come down? Do we know? Hopefully, they won't be intimidated.
Some people expect it on May 16th, but it'll come out sometime before the end of June. And I want to thank you, Bill, for all that you do to get the word out to people about lots of issues.
Oh, listen, it's my pleasure. I have to do something. It's a lead follower, get out of the way, right, Alan?
That's right.
And hey, folks, remember the Justice Foundation in your will. Not that a lot of people watch this are young. Some are older. But are you get your parents to put a little item there for the Justice Foundation, do a lot of good work to, reverse the culture of death in our country that's just so egregious. And so check them out. And by the way, you're from San Antonio. You're living in San Antonio. Did you know Gary DeLon?
I don't think so. No?
He was a famous Texas broadcaster. He was living in – I interviewed him. He was living in San Antonio, but he – at the time when JFK was killed, he was the first broadcaster in the world to announce that shots were fired at the presidential motorcade. I know that I interviewed him. It was a great interview. Interesting guy, great guy, and but a San Antonian. And anyway, silly me. Sorry to take up so much of your time, Alan. Always good to have you on the Bill McIntosh Show, Alan.
Thank you.
Godspeed.
God bless you.
God bless you.